Love this podcast? Support this show through the Acast Supporter feature. It's up to you how much you give and there's no regular commitment. Just hit the link in the show description to support now.
Burrow's furniture is built for the way you live. From ensuring easy assembly and disassembly to honoring highly requested new colors for their award-winning seating, they always have their customers in mind. Their modular seating is made out of durable materials to last and grow with you. And with Burrow, you always get fast, free shipping. Get up to 60% off during Burrow's Memorial Day sale at burrow.com/acast. That's burrow.com/acast. burrow.com/acast.
Hello and welcome to this special edition of the Geektown Radio podcast. I'm away on holiday this week, so I didn't want to leave you with nothing to listen to. So I've put together a little interview, which is with James Parnell, who is supervising sound editor and re-recording mixer from Monkeyland Audio. There's a couple of projects he's been working on recently. One is the Hulu show Pen 15, which hasn't actually aired over here, but he's quite interesting, quite funny. I've seen a couple of bits and pieces on it. It's a comedy set in a middle school by Maya Erskine and Anna Conkle, who, despite the fact they're in their sort of 30s, star as 13-year-old versions of themselves as outcasts in the year 2000, surrounded by actual 13-year-olds in the show. It's really strange, very, very funny. Hopefully we'll get it over here at some point. Nobody's picked it up yet, as far as we know, but it's definitely one to look out for. The other thing James has been working on is The Perfect Date, which you may have heard of and seen on Netflix. It's a movie. As you might remember, a few weeks ago, Netflix started releasing top 10 lists of shows that are airing in, and films that are airing in the UK. And Perfect Date was in the top 10 list for on the week it was released. So I know there's probably quite a lot of people that have seen it. That follows a character called Brooke Rattigan through his last months of high school, where in a bid to be able to afford tuition for Yale University, develops an app which makes him a stand-in for girls needing dates for various things like prom and stuff. It's a really funny, really interesting idea. It's a really funny, funny film if you've not seen it. It's called Perfect Date. It's on Netflix. And James worked on that as well. So we talk a bit about that work, talk a bit about some other projects he's got coming up, more stuff for Netflix, including a thing with Dolly Parton, which is sounds absolutely fascinating. And he's also got a film with William Shatner coming up as well. So we talk about all that in the interview. He was a lovely guy, really interesting to talk to. So here's the interview with James, and I'll do some air dates as well at the end. How are you doing? It's ridiculously early over there.
yeah, it's 8:22. Yeah, good. And thanks again for taking the time to do this. Really appreciate it.
No problem at all. Before we get into the show, should we do a little bit of background? You're a supervising sound editor and re-recording mixer. For people that haven't heard us interviewing people with that job before, do you just want to explain what that is?
Yeah, for sure. So two very different jobs, but very closely related. Supervising sound editor is kind of what the title describes. It's a job in post-production where you're a supervisor of a sound editorial team. So basically that means that you're the direct contact with the client, who might be a director or producer or both, and you are in charge of basically taking their vision, their sonic vision for their film, relaying that information to your sound editorial team, like a dialogue mixer, sound effects mixer, background editor, sound effects editor, dialogue editor, Foley editor, and then you're responsible for taking all of those elements, those units, as we call them, and compiling them together and providing them to the re-recording mixer, whose job it is to basically take all that wonderful editorial and distill it to its, I don't want to say simplest form, but most sonically pleasing form, which sometimes means muting some of that information where there's a double up in sound effects and Foley, or blending them together using EQ and reverb and presenting a mix that is, yeah, sonically pleasing.
Okay, cool. So how did you get into that in the first place?
Basically, I grew up in Canada. I was doing an undergraduate degree in political science. wasn't really enjoying it. I was playing in bands at the time and started recording my band, and then found out that I enjoyed recording more than I enjoyed political science and kind of playing in the band itself and playing live. So yeah, I got into it that way. I did a college degree in Canada, and then I actually flew over to Edinburgh and did a master's degree over in Edinburgh.
Oh, cool.
Lived in London. Yeah, lived in London for 2 years and did some work in television there. So.
Nice. Edinburgh's a great city to hang out in as well, particularly as a student. That must be amazing.
yeah, it was fantastic.
So the two projects really you've been doing most recently, Perfect Date, which is a movie you can go and watch on Netflix right now, which is a sort of romantic comedy. This is a great concept for a thing. It's basically a guy that creates an app to hire himself out as a stand-in date for girls that want dates to go places like homecoming and stuff, which is a great idea for that. And the other one is Pen 15, which is again is another high school kind of comedy, but it's very much different, I would say, to the other one.
Yeah, two very different projects. Yeah, it was I think Pen 15 is in middle school, so they're the two girls who directed their 13-year-old version of their 31-year-old selves.
Yes, which is just a really interesting idea. And that also with Pen 15 set in 2000 as well, so you're kind of going back in time for that. When you're finding sounds and putting stuff together for something like that, you'd think with them both being high school or middle school, you know, school related shows, you'd think there are quite a lot of similarities between the two, but I guess the fact that one of them is set in 2000 makes quite a big difference to the sort of soundscape you're creating.
Yeah absolutely. I mean, especially in terms of like sounds of being in the classroom, like in The Perfect Date there wasn't much in classroom stuff. There was a montage scene where Noah, the main character, was in a classroom, but for the majority of it was based around his kind of being stuck. School was kind of finishing up, and he knew he wanted to go to an Ivy League school,
right?
And he was working like a dead end job at his local sub shop, and he was aspiring for more. So there wasn't a lot of like in school stuff. It was more so like developing the sounds for the app and stuff like that. But you're absolutely right. Like, even though the shows are based like in high schools or the characters are high school age, they are completely different sounds. The best thing I can do to describe it is one of the episodes of Pen 15 takes place on AOL Instant Messenger, like entirely. And all of those sounds we had to download like a sound pack, and because like, you know, nobody has that program anymore. It was like, from ages. So we had to do that. Another episode takes place where one of the main girls, Maya, is communicating with her father, who's on the road. He's a drummer on the road, and she's communicating via fax machine. So we had to implement all of those period piece sounds, if you will.
Yeah.
It sounds weird referring to something from the 2000s as a period piece.
I've had this conversation with people before where they're referring to like costuming a period drama and it's set in the 90s. You know?
Yeah.
It is. I mean, you know, it's like, I mean, 2000, it's almost 20 years ago. So, you know, one thing I did notice with quite a lot of the Pen 15 stuff is one of the way the music's actually edited together, there's quite a lot of points where the music just seems to stop. And, you know, was that a sort of conscious decision? Where did that direction come from? It sort of stops when somebody asks a question or throws something at them. It's sort of, so I guess the music feels like it's sort of in their head and then somebody snaps them out of it, I guess.
Yeah. And I think like a conventional style of kind of like punchy comedy where you have this like huge needle drop, like on the first day of school for Pen 15, which I think is in the trailer, we have this huge needle drop in this American band named Lit and called My Own Worst Enemy. And it's about the awkward entrance of these two girls into their middle school years. And then all of a sudden this guy on rollerblades jumps right in front of them and we just cut the song off. And I think that happens a couple of times in The Perfect Date as well. But yeah, it seems, I mean, it just comes from the director's wishes, which actually takes place in the picture editing bay. So he'll be with his picture editor and they'll drop that music piece in. They'll say, oh, I want it to stop here. And then they'll export their kind of sound timeline to us as kind of a rough guide of, okay, these are where the music ins and outs are. And we'll manage it from our point of view and just finesse the edits and make sure that they're punchier or more punchy than the picture editors can do.
Yeah.
And other times we'll get completely newly supplied music from a music supervisor via a music editor, and the music editor will give us their music Pro Tools session, and it'll have new songs, but the edits will mimic what was in the original director's video edit.
Yeah. Was it quite I don't know how old you are, but was it quite nostalgic working on a show like that for you?
Yes. I literally, the very first thing, it was weird, you know, when I met Maya and Anna, we sat in a small 5-1 room where we usually do spotting sessions, which are the sessions where we give the directors the chance to watch the material and think about it from a sound perspective and kind of give us their like wish list of things that they want and elements of sound that they want to incorporate, and hey, can we clean this bit of dialogue up and all that stuff. And the very first thing I did is like when I hit play, we were like 10 minutes in and I turned around and I was like, I like hit pause. I was like, guys, I graduated high school in 2003. This is like completely, I remember everything about that. And it was super, it was like eerie, but in a beautiful way, you know. It was yeah, right.
Going on to The Perfect Date, I mean, as you mentioned there, one of the main things in that is the app, the standing app, which is the thing that he uses to get these the girls to kind of hire him to do for these dates.
Yeah.
How did you approach creating the sounds for that?
I can't take credit for the sound on that. So I was the re-recording mixer on the project. So Ray Park, who's a fantastic sound designer and sound effects editor, was the guy who's on those sounds, but the direction was that they wanted it to sound modern. They wanted this to sound, you know, like a regular app that you would use on your phone. It wasn't to make the app, like every single button you had had hit had a sound associated with it. It was more so like, when do we need it? So for instance, like midway through, Murph, his best friend who developed the app for him, shows him it, and there's a little like a Bitmoji version of Noah in the bottom left corner. And the Bitmoji is there, and I think his arm is moving, but there's no sound associated with it. But later on, he views the phone, and there's the same kind of movement from the character, and we associate sounds with it just because there's movement on screen. So it was being tasteful with the amount of sounds that we put in, and that was actually a challenge in itself because we were getting updated VFX on the phone as we were mixing.
So, right.
You know, day by day, as we were, you know, hitting the mix stage, we'd have a new version of the reel. We'd throw it in and it would be like, oh, this reel has VFX from the phone. And then we'd have to go and retime. And we were retiming those sound effects up until the very date of printing the mix.
So, wow.
Yeah.
That's the thing where you're muttering in your breath, stop changing things.
Yeah. Or like going to sleep and being like, okay, I wonder what's on the docket for tomorrow. You know, are we going to be spending 30 minutes an hour retiming? You know?
Yeah. Crazy. Out of the sort of job that you do, it's one of those things that is almost supposed to be kind of invisible in the film. You know, if it's standing out too much, you've probably not quite done your job right. It does, which is a weird sort of situation to be in. It's the same with some of the CGI work, I guess. So what would you say is the most surprising fact about your job that people might find interesting?
I've got to watch what I say here, I guess. so firstly, you're absolutely right. It's like the one thing that'll take you out of the movie is bad sound. It's like the very first thing. And people just take it for granted. Like when they see a huge spaceship fly across the screen, it's like, oh, well, obviously that sound was recorded on set. You know, it's like, obviously people know, but at the same time, it's done so well and so smoothly and effortlessly by the big boys in the industry that it's like, it's, you know, people just take it for granted how much work goes into it. But I think the most surprising or interesting thing would be maybe the hours, the late hours. Like for example, like it's not uncommon to go a week of work where you're working like 12, 15, 16 hours a day. But from a kind of a fun point of view, like I guess when you supervise the ADR sessions, getting to meet the talent in real life, you know, it's sometimes they're exactly who you expect them to be just based on their on-screen personality. But then other times they're completely normal or completely crazy. That's kind of nice in a way. You're kind of surprised and people are, for the most part, very, you know, very genuine and very loving people. So it's a great industry to work in.
ADR, for those people that don't know, is when the actors come in and revoice bits that maybe hadn't got picked up properly at the time. That's basically it. There was a really funny interview on TV over here recently where Daniel Radcliffe was talking about how much he loves doing ADR things and they think he's all mad because everybody else hates doing it.
Apparently Donald Sutherland is like a master at ADR. And Kiefer is just like his father. Apparently, I've never met him.
Wow, that's interesting. Yeah, yeah. No, that would be great. Well, hopefully they'll bring 24 back at some point, and maybe you'll get a chance.
Yeah, I'd love to.
A couple of other things you've worked on. You worked a bit on Get Out. That was his assistant sound editor on that, weren't you? That was with Trevor Gates, I'm assuming.
Yeah, it was.
Because we interviewed Trevor a few episodes ago, actually. We interviewed Trevor for that. So.
Oh, great. He's incredibly talented.
The two things we're talking about are comedies, really, at the moment, of various sorts. But, I mean, you've done a lot of things that are more on the horror side. You worked on the Scream series and something like Get Out and a whole bunch of other things.
Yeah, totally.
Do you have a preference for working on the horror over or the comedy, or is it nice to just have a big mix of stuff?
It's nice to have a big mix. I mean, the Scream series and Get Out were amazing opportunities, and I was just a young pup at the time. I kind of still am, but I was an assistant sound editor at that time, but they were tremendous projects, and it was cool to see, especially for Get Out. I mean, I can only imagine what Trevor's life was like during that time, because it was just rolling conform after rolling conform, which is when we'll be mixing on the mix stage. Trevor will be in the middle of editing reels of sound for the film together, and then they'll deliver new picture, which will necessitate us completely retiming our sound edit. So I can only imagine. I mean, it was literally daily we'd be getting new reels of film. So and they completely reshot the intro. There used to be a different intro to that movie. It was still character who gets kidnapped. The beginning of the movie, it was the exact same shot, but just a different look and a different feel, and very similar lines of dialogue, but different. So little things like that, tremendous amount of effort. But no, I love working on a mixed bag of things. I think it keeps you sharp in terms of kind of your bag of tricks that you can pull out. And yeah, I look forward to working on more genres and different genres, like action and thrillers and stuff like that.
Yeah, one of the upcoming projects you've got on your IMDb page, where you're actually working as the re-recording mixer. It's a thing for Dolly Parton called Heartstrings. That sounds like a fascinating idea, because it's basically an anthology series that is sort of based around the songs and the inspirations behind some of Dolly Parton's most beloved songs, which I think is a fascinating idea. I'm guessing you're dealing with her music as well when you're mixing that. How is that project to work on?
That project's awesome. I have to be careful what I say on it, because it's obviously not out yet.
It's not out yet.
Netflix original, but it's amazing. All the music, all the scores is being recorded in 5-1 at Capitol Records. I'm receiving, I think like 20 music stems, two banks of 10 5-1 music stems. There's like orchestral and like harps and all this stuff. And then we're also receiving Dolly Parton's music for the show. So like each episode, as you said, is based around one of her songs, but the story, the body of the show is a fictional story that kind of puts the viewer in the headspace that Dolly Parton might've been in when she wrote the song. So, and it kind of like sews together the lyrics or details of the song itself. And it's amazing. I mean, the caliber of musician, you can hear it in the recordings of the score. It's all in beautiful 5-1. So it's been mixed before it gets to me. And then my job is to kind of just feather it in and mix it in, So it's great. And the production team on it is incredible as well. So.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's a Netflix show as well. So hopefully that we'll get to see that over here as well, which would be great.
Yeah, it's supposed to come out, I think, actually, I shouldn't say, but it's
don't say it.
Close to the end of the year.
Yeah, yeah. It says 2019, so yes, we would assume the end of the year for that. Have you got anything else coming up that you want to talk about or can talk about?
There's this independent film, but I love the actual plot of the film. It's a William Shatner film.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. It's a small independent film by a production company called Goff Productions. I'm actually the re-recording mixer on it, and it's called Senior Moment, and it follows William Shatner as a senior resident in a community. He loses his driver's license, which basically takes his ability to move around completely away, and he has to end up like taking the bus and stuff, and he's finding himself like aging, and his goal through the movie is to get his license back. And it's a cute kind of comedy, and I'm just having a great time on it. So.
That sounds great. I love William Shatner, so that we want to watch out for. And my usual last two questions. First question is, what TV shows are you watching at the moment?
Oh my gosh, Game of Thrones, obviously.
Yes, everybody is watching Game of Thrones right now.
Last week tonight with John Oliver, but
I love that show. Yes.
Yeah, he's amazing. I started rewatching both Curb Your Enthusiasm and Seinfeld, just because I'm a huge fan of both.
Great.
Yeah, and then just like odd stuff on Netflix that I find.
That's good. Good. And if you had the opportunity to work on any TV show, past, present, or future, not one you've worked on, which show would it be?
Oh my gosh. Wow, I could spend all day thinking about this question. There is a really low budget, I don't even know if it was low budget at the time, but it, like this show with Jerry O'Connell called Sliders that was on Canadian television. I remember
that show. Yes. Yeah, Sliders. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Sliders was a fabulous series. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. It was amazing with Jonathan Rhys Davies and Jerry O'Connell. And it was, it was fantastic. And I just have very fond memories as a kid watching that. And I can only imagine that the sound effects editors and sound designers and mixers had a great time working on it. So.
Yeah. Yeah. That's a great choice. Yeah. I like that. All right. Yeah. Well, I shall let you get back to your morning. Thank you for spending a bit of time to come on and chat through your stuff. It's been really fun.
Yeah, David, likewise. Thank you.
Hopefully Pen 15 gets picked up and Perfect Date is already out on Netflix. And I'm quite looking forward to the Dolly Parton thing. That sounds fabulous as well. So good luck with everything. And hopefully we'll get to talk again some point in the future.
Yeah, I'd love that, David. Thanks so much.
All right. Talk to you soon. Bye.
Bye.
That was the interview with supervising sound editor and re-recording mixer James Parnell. The Perfect Date you can see on Netflix. It is up right now, so go and watch that. Pen 15 at the moment doesn't have a UK broadcaster, but we'll let you know. Keep an eye on the site. We'll let you know if that pops up somewhere. Here's some highlights for next week on TV.
Burrow's furniture is built for the way you live. From ensuring easy assembly and disassembly to honoring highly requested new colors for their award-winning seating, they always have their customers in mind. Their modular seating is made out of durable materials to last and grow with you. And with Burrow, you always get fast, free shipping. Get up to 60% off during Burrow's Memorial Day sale at burrow.com/ACAST. That's burrow.com/ACAST. burrow.com/ACAST.
Coming up next week on TV, we have Wild Bill, season one of that. This is the police dramedy we've been talking about quite a bit. Stars Rob Lowe, yes, that Rob Lowe, in a British comedy. It's about a high-flying US police chief who's transplanted to Boston in Lincolnshire in the UK. Looks like it's going to be very, very funny, but that's called Wild Bill. Comes to ITV on the 12th of June at 9 p.m. There is Absentia, which was brilliant the first season of that. Season two of Absentia stars Tana Katic from Castle. She is back as the FBI agent who was abducted while chasing a serial killer, only to be found 6 years later and then accused of being involved in the abduction in the first place. Really good the first season of that, so I'm really interested to see what they do with season two. That's Absentia, that's on Amazon Prime, and that's on the 14th of June. Really, really looking forward to that. Trinkets is a new show coming to Netflix, also on the 14th of June. That's the story of three teens who form an unlikely friendship after meeting in a mandated Shoplifters Anonymous group. Stars Brani Hildebrand, who you all know as Negasonic Teenage Warhead from the movie Deadpool. So yes, she's amazing as well, so worth watching that. Also on the 14th of June, you've got Jessica Jones, season three, the last of the Netflix Marvel series that is arriving then. Over on Amazon Prime, also on the 14th of June, we've got Too Old to Die Young, which explores the criminal underbelly of Los Angeles following characters' existential journeys from killers to samurais. That stars Miles Teller, who you'll know from Whiplash and Fantastic Four. Sunday, the 16th of June at 8 p.m, Top Gear returns with an all-new lineup. That's Chris Harris, Paddy McGuinness, and Freddie Flintoff now taking over the leads on that. That's the 27th season of Top Gear. That's back on BBC Two on the 16th of June. Superstore, that returns to ITV Two on the 17th of June at 8:30 p.m. for the rest of the fourth season. Ransom, that returns for its third season on 17th of June over on Universal. That's at 9 p.m. And then Ackley Bridge, that is back for its third season on Channel 4. That's
the multicultural drama set in an academy school. That's Channel 4, Ackley Bridge, on the 18th of June. So that's everything we have for this week. We will probably be doing another interview show again next week. Then we will be back to normal. So I'm just away for a couple of weeks, but when we'll be back, we'll be back to a totally normal show. We'll probably have Bex on talking about her adventures in Japan. We will also be doing some coverage from E3 as well. We'll talk through the various games and things that were announced there. So that'll be in a couple of weeks. For now, the website is still being updated, so you can go to geektown.co.uk throughout the week to see all the latest air date info. If you want to get in touch with your questions or comments, email us on podcast@geektown.co.uk. Leave a message on the website post. Find us at Geektown on Twitter, on Facebook at facebook.com/geektown, on YouTube at youtube.com/geektown, and on Instagram at geektownuk. That is everything. We shall see you next week. Bye-bye.
Cool fact, a crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Also, you can get health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. United Healthcare short-term insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for you. Learn more at uh1.com.